Hi, I'm Rivka.
And I'm Ida. Welcome to the From the Inside Out podcast.
We're mompreneurs and friends who love connecting through meaningful conversations.
It all started in an Uber, where we were both so inspired by each other's life experiences.
It was then and there that we decided to create this platform because we believe in the power of growth, self-awareness, and connection through sharing our experiences.
Our goal is to bring you insights, wisdom from the people who inspire us, and interviews with some of our world's greatest thinkers, leaders, and everyday heroes.
We invite you to join us as we create positive change in mind, body, and soul from the inside out.
We dedicate this episode to a pure and beautiful soul who left this world too soon, and to the infinite and unbreakable bond between parent and child that is always there on a soul level.
Hadassah Labovic left this physical world a few days ago in her bat mitzvah year. Hadassah was a happy, fun-loving, smart, caring, and generous girl, loved dearly by all who knew her, a beautiful soul we can look up to and learn from, and emulate in how to bring as much light as possible into this fragile world.
This episode is about reconnecting soul to soul. Rabbi Chase Taub has delivered Torah lectures and classes to audiences on 6 continents. For many years, he wrote a popular weekly column in Ami magazine and is the author of the best-selling book, God of Our Understanding, as well as several groundbreaking works on Tanya, including the Tanya Map teaching tool, the Soul Maps curriculum, and the audio series, Mapping the Tanya. He currently serves as scholar in residence at Chabad of Five Towns in Cedarhurst, New York. His lectures and classes may be found on soulwords.org.
His newest project is a brilliant parenting course called Parenting from the Inside Out. You can find it on soulwords.org/parenting. There are so many invaluable teachings in Rabbi Taub's parenting approach. You will hear in this episode one of Rabbi Taub's most valuable teachings is bonding with our children. One of the many aha moments for me as I took this course was learning the art of balancing bonding with my children, yet at the same time, another component is also letting go, giving them space, giving our children the space to be able to implement their values in the real world of challenges and allowing them to get to know themselves and their strengths. That breathing in is just as essential as breathing out.
So as you take in this episode and connect and with our conversation, allow yourself the space to digest, internalize, and hear Rabbi Taub's empowering lessons in spiritual parenting to implement them in your very own home.
Participating in Parenting from the Inside Out made me realize I'm not alone in the massive role of being a parent and that we all have our struggles. Perhaps in different ways, but that we are all human and we can be in this together by sharing our stories and learning from our failures, our strengths, and celebrating the growth day by day.
So without further ado, our mentor, the one and only Rabbi Chase Taub.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hey there.
Looks like the sun is coming out already.
Yeah.
In New York. Still pitch black in Miami. Rivka, this is our first time doing an interview at 5.
So your first 5:20.
Yeah, Davidi's like, what time zone are they on that you're having that you're doing at 5:20?
No, we usually prepare at 5:20, or we do our conversations with each other at 5:20. No one's ever agreed to actually be doing an interview at 5:20.
Well, yeah. We did interviews on different time zones. Like, if someone in Israel, it would work, or London it would work, but we just haven't done it.
Okay, well, this is your prime time, right?
Yes, prime it time. Is our prime time.
So I'm going to get the best interview then. So,
it's a Hashem.
Okay.
So how are you doing this morning, Rabbi Taub?
Baruch Hashem, I'm doing well. How are you ladies?
Doing well.
Thank God. Doing well. We were just talking right before you came on to our conversation. Ida was saying, I just wonder if Rabbi Taub's course is for every type of parent. Like, maybe it's the course that was just for you and not necessarily for me. Why did that thought go through your head, Ida?
Because I actually have not done a parenting course, and I might mistakenly feel like I have that down, but Rivka reminded me that I feel that parenting, it is the hardest job in the world, and we're always developing as parents as our kids get older. So I wanted to know from her, well, how did you feel about the course? Anyway, Rivka, you shared with me.
What I shared with her is that I think this course is for every single type of mother or father out there. I don't think it's exclusive to one type of parent. I think every single parent should be taking this course. Actually, this is our first time bringing back any guest. We've had Rabbi Taub on our podcast before. Yes, we've never brought back a guest.
Wow.
We always feel like, okay, we've brought a guest. Now people can go back and listen to your episode, which they do. And you are pretty much mentioned. We share your Torah thoughts, your Hasidic thoughts, in probably 99% of our episodes, you're featured. The reason I said to Ida, I really want to bring Rabbi Taub back is because I just took this parenting course, just completed it, and it was just invaluable and life-changing. And I have read many parenting books and philosophies, and this just did it for me. It hit the spot. It helped me make the changes that I wanted to change, and changes that I didn't even know that I wanted to change.
I mean, it's a work in progress. It's never easy making changes and working as parents to be the best versions of ourselves. But I feel like I gained the right mindset to implement positive change as a parent. And it gives me the courage to move forward with this approach.
It brought the unconscious to the conscious.
And that's what stood out to me when you said it brought the unconscious to the conscious and that it was life-changing. I thought, okay, there's got to be a lot that I don't know. There's always a lot to learn, but a lot that I don't know that I probably should be learning. What's interesting is that you're noted as an expert, well, an expert in, you know, Hasidic thought, but also in addiction and recovery. And here you've chosen to do a parenting course. Why did you specifically choose that topic?
Okay, so there's a little background how I got involved in the parenting course. And actually, it starts, you know, similar to how your podcast started, that the two of you had an encounter. I think it was like you guys were sharing an Uber and you struck up a conversation, right?
Yep.
Okay. Fine.
Yes.
All right. So I was sitting in the car with a friend of mine, dear old friend of mine, Levi Shemtov from West Bloomfield, Michigan, who is the visionary who started the Friendship Circle. I'm sure a lot of people heard of the Friendship Circle, an incredible program, really? Which basically has been replicated all over the country, all over the world, where they match up families that have children with special needs with teen volunteers. And he's the one who dreamt that up, and then it became a replicated concept.
Yeah, it's incredible. Incredible organization.
And he's just a very creative, he's a big thinker, big dreamer, and also knows how to make dreams become realities. So it was February of 2020, meaning it was right when I first started, when I would fly internationally and I would fly into immigration and customs, they would have a screen that would say, have you visited Wuhan province, China in the past 60 days? Okay. It was right before Corona entered our consciousness. So I went out to Detroit. We're sitting in a car, and Levi Shemtov says, we got to do something about parenting. And I know it's big, but how big is it really? So I said, Levi, here's how I see it. And at the time I said it, I didn't realize I was writing our elevator pitch, because since then, Levi has gone around and told this to everyone who he wanted to get the buy-in from for this cause. But this is what I said. I said, Levi, think about it like this. In the whole world, most problems in the world are caused by human beings. Human beings are the source of most of the problems. Now, of all the problems that human beings cause, most of the problems that human beings cause are because these human beings have problems. Like they say, hurt people, right?
Right.
And most of the people who have problems from their childhood. And most of the problems they have from their childhood are from their parents. Nice. And so therefore, if we can just teach the next generation of parents to get their kids to adulthood with less issues, with less problems, we can actually significantly decrease the amount of suffering in the entire world. And that became our mission statement, that this is parenting, conscious, deliberate parenting, purposeful parenting, is a way of markedly improving the quality of life for everyone on the planet. It's a strategy, really.
Yeah. It's a preventative strategy. That's amazing.
And it's preventative, which is the best strategy. Yeah.
And like you had said, you actually shared this in one of the episodes, is that it's inevitable that we're going to somehow give over our emotional baggage to our children, but we can lessen that by being conscious parents.
I think it's very important to give permission for imperfection, because there's a lot of guilt. There are people who want to parent deliberately and purposefully, but it's just too risky, because once you start thinking fully consciously about parenting, it starts to dawn on you how massive the responsibility is and how much disproportionate influence you as a human being have over this person just because they're your child, that it becomes so intimidating. And then parents start feeling guilt, which is, you know, guilt is never productive, but especially in parenting. And yeah, one of the things we do is just let people know we are going to mess up. But if we have a strategy, at least we'll mess up less.
Yeah, and that's something that I found very emotional in the beginning of doing your course, is listening to a lot of the mothers' struggles and the guilt. And obviously I was feeling that way as well when you shared a concept, and I felt like, wow, I have so, every day I was thinking how many things I need to improve on in this area. And when you shared, you know what, exactly what you're sharing now, that it's not about being perfect. It's about taking 1,000 little steps every day till we get to a place of improvement, but we're not perfect human beings. I felt like all of us kind of let that guilt go a bit, and it was more about, okay, what are the little steps we are taking? And and just hearing from all the mothers about the little steps that they are taking and how much that little step had done for the relationship with their child was just so empowering and beautiful. And that was a big thing in the course, is hearing these little steps that mothers, that we all took, and what that was doing for us and our relationships with our children. And then because of that, I can totally see this big vision of changing the world.
One of the things that Rivka and I were talking about also was, you know, parenting versus personal development, and like, where's the distinction? Because to become a better parent, you know, they say like a rising tide raises all ships in the harbor. So if I'm working on myself, then naturally I will hopefully become a better parent. So what's the distinction? Like, is, you know, specifically parenting versus like, let's say doing a self-development course.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that you phrase it that way, because you didn't take the course. So it's funny how you're almost verbatim saying my first, like the first lesson, it's almost exactly the words you're saying is what I say. I say, surprise. This is not really a parenting course. It's a spiritual development course for parents. And the thinking is just like you said, that when we're the best version of ourselves, we do everything better, including parenting. So parenting is almost like the excuse. Parenting is like, okay, I have to become the best version of myself, but I've been putting it off. But now, for the sake of my kids, it's time to get to work.
That makes sense. And I think maybe some parents have lost the plot a little bit, where because parenting takes up so much energy from the parent. I think, you know, you're talking about guilt. I think mothers in a way more so than fathers, but again, not a generalization, but sometimes they feel like, oh, I've lost myself, you know, in raising my kids. So how am I going to find myself? But it's not really two separate things, right? Is that what you're saying? Like, it's really one, and it's kind of interconnected.
Well, you're bringing up a marvelous point. I didn't ever specifically speak about that in the course, but what you're saying is profound. And I agree with you, by the way, not to overgeneralize, like you said, but I do think it's more of a woman's struggle. The feeling of losing yourself to this role of mother, right? But who am I, right? What about me? And I guess I didn't even think about this, but thank you for pointing it out to me. One of the things that the kind of approach we take in our parenting course, one of the things that addresses is that conflict ceases to be a conflict, because the need to find yourself and your true self and your identity and really your core identity, which means the soul, that's one and the same with parenting. Once you realize, here's the thing. One of the things I mentioned in the first class is the misconception that parenting has something to do with our children's behavior. So that's the misconception. I have a problem. My problem is my kids aren't behaving the way they ought to behave. So parenting means teach me some techniques that'll get my kids to behave the way they need to behave. And the first thing we say is, no. Your kids' behaviors are secondary at most. Parenting is something you do. Parenting is something you do. And not only is it something that you do, but parenting is such a huge task. It's so that the enormity of the responsibility is so huge. It's not a normal human capacity anyways. It's a spiritual thing, and it's coming from your core godly self. So you're going to have to tap into something much deeper. So really, this is about self-discovery and the deepest, most profound type of self-discovery. This is about figuring out who you are as your true, intrinsic, unconditional, unchanging, eternal self. And when all that sort of happens, then automatically you can apply it to parenting. And because we're a group of parents talking about parenting, sort of the applications of our spiritual discovery are going to be in a parenting context.
So true, because I really felt it was so helpful in that first class for me. To, you know, we get so tainted by our past or by experiences that we've had, the years going by, and knowing that my soul is untainted by any trauma and it's untouchable, and being able to tap into that place helped me find a certain place, a certain part of myself, resource that I didn't know I had, even though, yes, I know I have an ashama, but somehow just being in touch with the thought that it's been untainted and I can parent from that place helped me find myself in a certain way at the same time.
Meaning where you stand out is specifically in the Hasidic approach to parenting, right?
Yeah. And, you know, I don't brand it that way. I don't say this is Hasidism or, but I mean, if someone asks, what are your sources? I'm transparent about it, but I mean, that's my background. That's my training. That's where I'm coming from. And the Hasidic approach, you know, if someone were to ask, you know, boil it down, what is the Hasidic approach to all things? And I would say it would be uncovering the essence. And it doesn't matter if it's marriage, if it's parenting, if it's business, or self-improvement, the common denominator in the Hasidic approach is always there's a godly core. There's an essence inside of everything. And we have to strip away the superficial packaging and get to it. And I really like what you're saying, because I'd never articulated this to myself before until I'm hearing it from you, that thank you for adding this insight, that This addresses one of the primary issues of parents, especially mothers, which is the feeling that I've lost my identity to my role as a parent. And yeah, this is precisely what we do. Is not only do you not, hopefully, not only do you no longer feel you've lost your identity, but parenting becomes this wonderful golden opportunity for discovering your true self on a whole new level.
Yeah.
It sort of forces you to.
Right. And you could say the same thing about marriage too, like in any relationship.
Yeah. And you could even say the whole reason why, you know, God sends our souls to this world to have all these different experiences certainly wasn't to distract us from our core identity. And to the contrary, each one of these different challenges are a different forum for discovering our true selves in a different light.
But at the same time, like you say, everything's a paradox. Something that I took from your course also is to rise above my pain. So I can find myself in, but at the same time, I have to rise above certain things and keep them to myself and show some restraint. But I think it's a nice thought to also know, but, you know, I'm discovering who I am. I think that's helpful in rising above your pain.
So, you know, that's I'm glad you bring that up. We do speak about that a lot, about, you know, your personal reaction. A lot of times in parenting, we have personal reactions. Our kids aren't behaving the way we want them to, and it frustrates us. Or, you know, they're doing it in public, so it embarrasses us. Or, you know, there's a power struggle and we feel challenged. Or just they're loud and they won't be quiet and we're annoyed, right? So there's all these personal reactions that we're having. I'm annoyed. I'm offended. I'm embarrassed. I'm afraid. You know, I fear the loss of control. And all of these things are like, hold on a second. Is that your kid's problem? That you're feeling annoyed, embarrassed, frustrated, offended. And you're right. A lot of what we do is say we got to rise above that stuff. But just to connect to what we were talking about before, about connecting to your true self, you know, there are layers of self. And maybe you could oversimplify it and say, like, you know, ego is probably a superficial layer. You know, ego is like my identity that defines itself in terms of things outside of myself. What I have, validation I get from others, the way I'm seen, you know, all that kind of stuff that doesn't really matter. You know, how I look, all the superficial stuff. So ego is sort of like that very superficial level of self. And then there's like this core identity at the other extreme, which is unchanging, eternal. I mean, the soul basically is totally transcendent, is not affected by the vicissitudes of life. You know, all the rocking of the boat doesn't rock the core identity, the soul. So when we talk about really tapping into your true self, what we're talking about is the ability to go past the outer layers of self and get to the core. When I'm reactive, when my kids' behaviors are triggering me, what level of me is that that's getting triggered? That's not the core me. In other words, you remove my ego, you remove my shtick, to use the clinical term. You know, you take away all the trauma and the stuff that's been overlaid on top of me, and you remove that and you just get down to the essence of my eternal soul. I'm not reactive. I'm not like concerned about, you know, a child frustrating me or challenging me. So, you know, getting in touch with yourself, I think, is something that's sort of misunderstood sometimes. People get in touch with themselves, but not their deepest self. They get in touch with themselves, but, you know, a more superficial level of self, which means they get more focused on the petty reactiveness. And we're saying, no, let's go deeper than that. And we'll go past all that and find a place where you're at peace. No one can set you off. No one can throw you off your game, because you're rock solid. And that's the core self.
It's such an interesting concept, like the concept of ego and how it relates to parenting. And so Rivka and I were talking about this, like the notion of like a zero sum game, like, okay, my energy is very limited. So is there, I hope I'm asking this in the right way, but is there that element of ego when a parent is saying, I don't have the energy to, you know, have to, or to even to take on more, you know, community service projects or another job or this or that? Like, is there an ego component there?
So I'll throw it back on Rivka, because she took the course, and ask you in lesson one of the 6-week course, in lesson one, what do we say about tapping into our infinite reserve of godly potential.
Well, what we say about that is that we have limitless, we have infinite reserve. Actually, Rabbi Taub compared it to a well, like you think of yourself as a well where you can just keep, there's just an infinite supply of that wellspring, and we have that available to us.
The simple illustration to prove the concept, which nobody will argue with. I say, you have an only child and you love your only child with all your heart. Then you have a second child. Do you now love each child with half a heart? No, somehow the parental math is that you love both children with your 100% of your heart. How does that work? And if you'll have 15 kids, you'll love them all with your whole heart. Somehow there's this infinity. And you have the ability to love 15 kids with all of your heart. Mathematically, it shouldn't be. But that's proof of concept that parenting is not a normal interpersonal relationship of one human being to another. Parenting is where you actually partner with God and you have access to godly resources. And so first lesson I tell the parents, you're a partner with God. That means you have access to God's resources. That means infinite patience, infinite wisdom, infinite love. Now, are there 24 hours in the day? Yes, that's a finite, unavoidable limit of living in this world. But there's a difference between quantity and quality. And there's sometimes a quality that is so deep that it can transcend the limits of quantity, where you have the ability to fully be present for your child. And maybe it's only a short amount of time on the clock, but the soul bond and the connection is something that can't be measured in minutes and seconds.
I actually, this thought was very helpful to me because a parent asked Rabbi Taub, a parent asked you, I only have 24 hours in a day and I don't feel like I'm giving my children the enough attention. You know, there's only 24 hours a day. I'm a working mother. And you had shared that there can be something in space and time which transcends space and time. And sometimes we can turn an infinite amount of quality into a finite amount of quantity. And sometimes it takes 30 seconds of quality time. You know, there can be a moment that takes 30 seconds that hits a spot and really delivers and gives you emotionally everything you need. And that's the spiritual power coming through. And more than spiritual, it's godly. It's in time and space, but it's more than time and space. Like you can have that moment and that can last a lifetime for the child where you're spending 24 hours with the child, but you're not having that moment with them. But I found that so helpful. It actually got me to a place where I'm like, okay, I have a moment now. I'm going to really connect with my child and get down on the floor and play a game with him. And that ties into one of the classes of bonding, to do something that your child wants to do, not something that we want to do. And I really feel like those moments of really connecting and feeling like it's coming from my godly place, like untainted by anything else. I'm just connecting to my child and he's connecting to me or she's connecting to me. And that moment can do so much more than spending 24 hours of a day just hanging around, you know?
Yeah. And you told me that afterwards you felt so, like much better, like you had more energy, even though like someone might say, oh, it was depleted some of my energy because I was giving it over to someone else. It did the opposite.
Yeah.
Which is, so yeah.
It's more than time and space. It's a moment that can last a lifetime. And I found that was one of the highlights to me.
It's like, it's not time management, it's energy management. It's if you manage your energy well, the time factor will not play in.
You know, yeah, it's also self-management. Right. Yeah. Energy management. Yeah. You had also said it's self-management. Mm-hmm. It's something that we control.
You mentioned the bonding, by the way. My ears perk up when you mention that. That's such a huge thing. And I don't know if you remember me saying this, but I think,
pause you for a second? That I just want everyone to know there are 6 classes in this course. And once a week, Rabbi Taub has a big idea a big idea for each class. And one of the classes is bonding.
What was it, class four?
Yes, class four. Class
four, yeah. I don't have it memorized myself, but.
We also need to.
I'm memorizing.
You said that. So there, this was for women specifically, Rivka. I mean, Rabbi Taub, you mentioned that there's one.
We did
for
a
women.
Women's group. Yeah, we did a women's group for 6 weeks. You know, it's just for various reasons. We did the women and the men separately. And then this week we're starting our men's group Thursday night. It's Thursday nights, 8:30 Eastern time. So the men's group starts this week. It'll go for 6 weeks. And we don't have another women's group scheduled, but God willing, based on interest, we'll have another.
It was
one.
Amazing. There were 100 women in this course, and I was.
Weren't they amazing?
They were amazing.
The level of interaction,
yeah,
and the sharing that went on, and the vulnerability. You know, that's tough to get up in front of people, even in front of strangers, and to admit that you're not a perfect parent. It takes a lot of guts. But those, when we would workshop through those examples, and someone would have like an aha, where they'd be like, ah, that's what you were talking about. That's it. That to me is so powerful. And that, you know, that's what I tell everyone in the lesson one. I say, don't ask me for practical examples. I don't know practical examples. You come to me with whatever's going on week after week, and let's use your life as the proving ground for everything we've been talking about. For me, that's, you know, the way we structured it is a 90-minute class. So the first half an hour is debriefing what happened out there in the real world. And then we have an hour of presenting a new concept, you know, a new big idea for that week. But my favorite part's the first half hour, where we hear from people reports how the application of these ideas are actually looking in real life. We got such great participation.
Actually, there's a reason why I joined this course. And that is because I was in a situation where I wasn't sure how to handle the situation. And it was difficult to me. I had a difference of opinion with one of my children. Usually we are on the same page in how we think. And it was kind of making me distant. And I didn't know how to deal with it. And Rabbi Taub said to me, be your daughter's BFF. Be her best friend. And I would love to talk a little bit about that, what it means to be a best friend. And I did that. I let go of my opinions and how I felt about the situation. And I was actually really scared to embrace that idea, because I felt like, oh, that's going to make her do what I don't want her to do. But what I was doing before wasn't working. Holding back from being close with her in this situation or giving my opinions was not working. So I decided to embrace this concept of being her BFF and really coming from a place of understanding and listening to her, even though I did not agree. And that got us to an amazing place. And also it got her to a place of making a really healthy decision that I ended up being so happy with. But it wasn't about that. It was about a bond and her making whatever choice it was.
It's counterintuitive because when you're afraid of the loss of control, you want to control.
Right.
But people don't work that way. And when you control them, it backfires. But when you focus on your bond, you end up having so much influence without even trying to have influence, because the person's bonded to you. And obviously this, you're reporting a personal thing, so I'm not asking you for details, but you could tell everybody that this counterintuitive thing really works.
It really does. And it takes a lot. There's bonding. That's one thing. And then space is another thing. So it's this combination of bonding, like being my child's BFF, but at the same time, giving them space where they can make their choices. They can have their opinions. It's not about us. Let them be in the real world and stand on their own two feet and feel like they're making their own choices. And I found that when they're able to do that, especially in this situation, they make a healthy decision because they really feel like, hey, this is my choice. I can make this decision. And because of this, a piece of advice that Rabbi Taub gave me, I'm like, I am joining this course. I want more of this.
And by the way,
it's very counterintuitive.
It is totally counterintuitive and it's scary.
Yeah.
It's scary.
Very scary.
Because you hear, don't be your child's BFF. That's what I would
Talk about that. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I whenever I talk about this, I get pushback. I was told, don't be your child's friend. I'm not my child's friend. So the first thing I say is, okay, who says? Where did you hear that? Like, and how do you know it's true? Like, because somebody said it, right? But secondly, I'll say like this. Your child's not your friend. You're your child's friend. And that's very important. There's nothing right. more pathetic and, let me add, damaging than a parent using a child to meet their own emotional needs. In fact, there, you know, it's called enmeshment. Yes. Or sometimes even it's called like covert incest or emotional incest. It's like, it's not healthy when a right. parent parentifies a child and uses the child to gain emotional support or to gain approval. I want to be the cool parent that my kids should think I'm cool, I'm good. That's awful because that's a form of taking from your child. That's not how God intended it. God did not intend you to take from your child. God intended you to give, to be the consummate provider for your child. So I want to provide emotional security to my child. I don't want to derive that from them. So it's very much a one-way street. I want my child to be able to come to me for support, judgment-free, no matter what. That's what it means. I'm their best friend. But it's not that I'm going to go to my child for support, judgment-free, no matter what, or for right. validation, or for any of it. God forbid, that's actually the worst. So it's a real selfless mode to be in. It's really selfless because, you know, you think about even like in a marriage, you know, you reach that level of vulnerability, but it's mutual in an ideal situation. With parenting, it's not mutual. The ideal situation is it's totally a one-way street. I'm there to provide absolute, reliable, predictable, unshakable emotional security to my child. And in turn, they don't have to give me anything. And in fact, I don't want anything because I'm the parent. I'm there to give to them.
That's why it's so important to like have a definition of terms. I feel like maybe the parents who are pushing back and saying, wait, I can't be my child's BFF. You know, what they mean is like the way I would act with my high school friend, you know, we need each other. I need this from you. That's what I mean. But really what you're saying is that's not the case. Definitely makes sense.
We always have to define terms. Always so important. Most arguments aren't really about reality. They're about the words we're using to describe reality. So we do a lot of that. We question a lot of like, okay, what does this mean? In fact, I'll tell you one of the words we define, and we spend a lot of time defining it over and over again because it is somewhat new for a lot of us. One of the words we define over and over again in the course is parenting. What is parenting? What's the definition of parenting? What is it now?
Parenting is the transmission of values, which I found so it's true. This is in my unconscious. I want to transmit values to my children. It is not policing, protecting, or providing. Those are things that we need. We need to provide for our kids. We need to police them, which is, you know, sometimes we need to police them. We need to police their bad behaviors. We need to protect them from harm. But real, authentic parenting is transmitting our values to our children.
And the mistake a lot of good parents make is they do the providing, the policing, the protecting, and then they're frustrated. Well, why didn't my kid learn? Well, what do you mean, why didn't they learn? Because you didn't parent. Parenting is you make them value what you value. You teach them to care about what you care about. When a cop pulls you over for speeding, it doesn't teach you to care about not speeding. It teaches you to care about not getting a ticket. So a lot of very well-intending parents say, you know, I taught him not to come home late. No, you gave a consequence, and therefore basically the best you're going to be able to get out of that is compliance. Enforcement will breed compliance at best. At worst, it breeds lying because people don't want to get caught. They don't want to disappoint you. But that's not the transmission of values. Just because you gave a kid a lecture about something
doesn't mean that you actually made them care about what you care about and what you want them to care about. So we stress this all the time. Parenting really is the transmission of values. How can you get them to value what you value? And then we go back to the bonding, because, you know, I didn't make up this term, but I use it all the time because it's so true. People don't care what you know until they know that you care. The bonding and the transmission of values are inextricably linked, because you cannot get somebody to adopt your values if they don't feel safe, if they don't feel close and connected to you. And in fact, one of the things I mentioned in the course is all people live by some value system, and usually it's one they pick up from the people around them, from their tribe, you know, whoever they think is their group that they can rely on. So with our youth, especially adolescents, and this is, I don't like to scare people, but this is the truth. You know, if they don't feel bonded to us and therefore aren't picking up our values, who are they bonded to?
Right. You had said that when you were defining a best friend. You said, you know, if you're not your child's best friend, who is his,
right.
who is their friend?
Who's... Exactly. And what are the values of that person who's filling that best friend role? Because whoever that best friend is, whoever your kid thinks their safest person is, even if that person isn't really safe. And children, unfortunately, are inexperienced. They don't always trust people who are worthy of trust, but they have someone or a group of people that they think are trustworthy, and they are consciously or unconsciously adopting the values of that person or people. So we want them to be bonded to us, so they're adopting our values.
I'm just wondering, values, like, speaking of definitions, so what are values that parents should aspire to? Like, what kinds of values should we, you know, emulate? And, or even some people, I feel like some people don't even know what values are.
100%. Like, That's the real thing. I don't even tell people what their values should be. But what you say, you know, let's define it, and people don't even know what their values are. That I'm big on. And I'll push people. I'll ask them, what are your values? One of the things we do is, like, people will report a misbehavior, because that's how it always starts. That, you know, people always say, well, my kid is doing this, I want them to do that. And obviously, you know, the punchline is we try to get you over that, because that's just your ego being reactive. But that's how the conversation starts. Oh, my kid is doing this, I want them to do that. Okay, fine, no problem. And one of the things I'll push on is I'll say, okay, why is that a problem? Other than the fact that it annoys you, but who told you parenting was going to be a ticket to have no annoyance in your life? You know, of course it's annoying. So, but why is that your kid's problem? And they'll say, okay, fine, so I should just drop it. No, I'm not saying you should drop it. I'm just saying, tell me a reason other than the fact that it bothers you. And if I keep pushing, they'll finally say, well, let's say they say, you know, my kid is fighting with a sibling. Why is it a problem? Why is it a problem? Because your other kid isn't safe. Okay. So just police, so just separate them. Okay. Well, if you keep pushing, eventually they'll say, well, it's not compassionate. Oh, compassion is a value. You value compassion. You want your children to be compassionate.
I was just thinking of another example I was thinking of this week. Like, this whole concept has gotten me to think about values. You know, so if my child is on technology too much, and thinking, okay, this is a behavior that's bothering me right now. What is the value behind that? And I've been thinking about it, and I'm thinking, you know, the value is being present.
Mm.
There's a value of being present. Like, my child is not present when they're on technology. And that's a value that is important. And that's not happening when they're on technology. And it got me thinking about that value, about being present, and that I can work on myself too. You know, it actually got me to stop being on my phone in the morning, because often I'd be on the phone texting. And just these past few weeks, I was like, okay, I'm not going to use my phone in the morning, because I want them to be present and not on technology. I've got to do the same. And so that was a really positive step that happened, is not being on my phone in the morning while I'm getting them ready for school. And it's been a beautiful experience, actually, much better than it was.
Right. And it started as, quote unquote, a parenting issue. And then it ended up being something for your own personal development as well.
Yeah. But
that's a great example because, you know, you can obsess on the behavior. Well, I don't like they're on technology. Okay, but that's a behavior. Tell me what value that behavior indicates a lack of. Then we can have a values-based discussion. See, values are not things. Values are ideas, which makes them automatically abstract. Values are abstract, like liberty, freedom, equality, right? Those are not things. Those are not tangible. Those are ideas. And it's much easier to deal in things than ideas. It's much easier to talk about physical objects or physical actions. There's, you know, that old Eleanor Roosevelt quote about, right, small minds and big minds, right, about small minds speak about people. Basically, he did this, she did that. Those are physical, those are stories. You know, this happened and this happened. And then big minds speak about ideas. Ideas, it's difficult to think abstractly. It's difficult to think in terms of ideas. But if we don't, then we're constantly just reacting to the most superficial level of things. Someone's doing something, yeah, but they're doing it for a reason, or they're doing it for the lack of a particular reason. Let's not talk about what they're doing. Let's talk about why they're doing it. And that's what values discussions are. What is the idea that I want this person to have?
It's difficult, but once you push past that and start to think of it as an idea, I find it much easier. I mean, for a long time, I've been wanting not to be on my phone so much in the morning, but when I think of it in a deeper way, like, oh, this is an idea. This is a value that I want to, you know, pass on to my children. It ultimately does make it easier.
By the way, we were speaking earlier about like the Hasidic approach to things. And I was saying it's getting to the essence of things. You know, talk about religious observance. There are two ways of teaching religious observance. One is to focus on the technical, this is what you do, this is how you do it. And then there's the spirit of it. Why is it done? Why is it valuable?
Right.
And that's true with everything. So we always try to acknowledge the fact that the ego is going to be very into the story of what happened. He did this, she said that, right? And then, okay, fine. That's how the ego sees it. Let's now go deeper. How does the soul see it? The soul is going to see it in terms of values, like being present is an example of a value, or being compassionate is an example of a value. And once we can talk about these things on a level of values, on a level of ideas that we care about, ideas that we want our children to care about, it becomes so much more, it just becomes so much, in the long term, so much easier to actually do our job. When we focus on behavior, we're just running around putting out fires, trying to enforce compliance, and there's no underlying philosophy behind it. Doesn't get any deeper than that. If we can just get over the fixation on behaviors and say, hold on, my job as a parent is to transmit ideas, then it's tougher in the short term, but it's so much easier and more productive in the medium term as well.
Yeah. And I love how you share that we should fabrain about this in between those times. We should be talking about our values, not when the bad behavior or the undesirable behavior is happening, but we should be implementing our values and talking about those things just every day.
Yeah. When do we give a kid a lecture about anything? When they just reminded us of it by doing the opposite. It's just the worst time to give them that talk because the cognitive dissonance kicks in and person becomes defensive. And it's like, no, that's not an important thing because no one wants to feel bad. You know, you just caught me doing the opposite. So why do I want to hear a whole lecture about why the thing I didn't just do is really, you know, such an awful thing not to do, or vice versa. The thing I just did is it's so important to not to do. And one of the things we talk about is, if these values are really so important to you and not just ways of controlling these little people, then we'll be talking about these things all the time, not just when our kids remind us of, oh yeah, I remember, I have a value. I remember you should be compassionate. How do I remember? Because you just hit your sister. No, if compassion is a real value that you have, that's something that's going to come up organically, not because, oh, I just remembered, you're not being compassionate, you just hit your sister.
Well, right. Values also, it's something that can be practiced, I think, also in that, like, let's say I want to have a value, I can work on that value and then over time become better at it and hopefully transmit it to my kids, even if it's something that I have, I don't necessarily do right now.
Yeah. And also, when you think of it as a value, you can become more creative as far as various different behaviors that may reflect that value. In other words, sometimes we become fixated on, oh, I'm not doing such and such. Okay, you're not doing such and such, but that's one behavior. There may be other behaviors that could also reflect that same value. Same thing with parenting. I had in one course, not the one that Rivka was on, but an earlier one, where a woman was saying, she really values that her child should be at the Friday night Shabbat dinner table. And it drives her crazy that her teenager isn't there. So I said, okay, that's the behavior. She's not there. What's the value? She said, I want her to love Shabbos. So I said, how much is your nagging her going to impart a love of Shabbos? So how about let go of that particular behavior and choose a different behavior which is more attainable, which will also be an expression of a love of Shabbos. Because at the end of the day, do you want the behavior or you want the value? If you want the behavior, by the way, you can do it. And you can force them. They live in your house. You live under my roof. You can force her to be present at that Friday night table. And you know what? That doesn't mean you're teaching her the value of loving Shabbos. And it may even mean, unfortunately, quite the opposite. You're teaching her to hate it. But if you're smart and you say, it's not about the behavior, it's about the value. Let me go pick a totally different behavior. Maybe you want a love of Shabbos? I don't know. Let's go out and buy a Shabbos treat. let's buy some cheesecake for breakfast. You know, there's so many different behaviors that you can use to express a value. And when you're thinking in terms of values, then you have a lot more flexibility when it comes to the behaviors.
It reminds me of the quote, be the change you want to see.
I wanted to add to this. I love the meditations. It's like 10 minutes every day to really internalize the class from that week.
We have guided meditations for every week has a big idea. So then in order to internalize the big idea of each class, there's like a little 10-minute guided meditation.
Right. So one that stands out to me right now when we did the meditation on values is thinking about your child when they're older. They're going to give a TED talk on the 5 values that their parents have given over to them. And that was really like, wow, to me. And that, I actually think about that during the day. Okay, one day my child's giving a TED talk on the values that I've imparted onto them. And that's something that I want to start thinking about. Hey, what are those top 5 values that I want to give over to my children? Gets you thinking.
There's and then there's so many questions coming up. I feel like I'm understanding why this needs to be a much longer conversation than, you know, and why it's a 6-part series. But yes. I do want to share where mothers or fathers or really anyone, right? Rivka, you mentioned anyone could take this course, even if it's a grandparent or someone who isn't a parent yet, or someone who plans on or doesn't plan on becoming a parent. It's soulwords.org/parenting. I mean, I would say I highly recommend it. I haven't taken it, but based on what I've heard from you, Rivka, I think I could say I highly recommend it. I learned vicariously through you, but I will be taking the next one, God willing.
And I just want to say that, you know, this is a big deal, but I wanted my husband to be on the same page as me. As much as I gave over what I learned to my husband, I feel there's something about being part of the course. And he loved what he heard from me. And he said, I'm joining the course too. So we actually wanted you to finish some sentences for us in regard to parenting. I know I am parenting successfully when.
Wow. and I can finish the sentence however I want?
Yes, it's your sentence. I know I'm parenting successfully when.
Oh, I've said this sentence before.
You've said it in the course, but I want you to share it with everybody.
This is what, you know, Mark Twain said, if you never lie, you never have to remember anything. So if I really meant what I said, then seemingly I should be consistent in saying the same thing again. Okay. So these are basically my quotes, and we're going to see if I really believe what I'm saying. Okay. All right. So, okay. Do the first one. Yeah.
I know I am parenting successfully when.
Okay. I'm just going to guess that I would say when my parenting is flowing from me in a very intuitive way. Close?
Okay.
Yes. What you just shared now, but also you have said, I would feel like I'm successfully parenting when my child wants to know my opinions instead of me giving them their opinions.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say, that's a great indication that I'm parenting well, that my kid actually wants to know my opinion and feels safe enough to come ask for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I could share one fundamental tip with parents, what would that be?
Bonding.
What was that? Bonding.
Bonding, connection, okay. Relationship, being the safest person in your child's life.
My goal for my child is?
My goal for them is that they should achieve what their soul came to the world for, not what I, not my idea of what they need to achieve. They should fulfill themselves. Their spiritual mission in this world, their unique mission that their soul came for, that no other soul ever has done or will do.
That's beautiful. And you had also so shared in the class on space that one of the goals for our children should be that they should be independent and be able to stand on their own two feet.
That's the objective of all education is self-sufficiency. And yeah, we start practicing self-sufficiency when from the moment they're toddlers, and we let them learn how to walk and we watch them fall, we let them practice self-sufficiency.
Yeah. Loving your child is also letting them fail. That's a big one, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have a favorite parenting quote? We mentioned a couple, but, anything that comes to mind besides the ones you already mentioned?
I mean, there's a big idea, which is parenting is not a normal human to human relationship. It is something that is bigger than you and will force you to get in touch with a power greater than yourself. And it's
great.
It's a godly job, but we've been given godly resources.
Unconditional pride can be achieved through, how can we achieve that?
Oh, by seeing your child as a soul.
Yes.
Yeah, we talk about, everyone knows about unconditional love. What about unconditional pride? People place conditions on it. Well, when my kid will do this, then I'll actually have nachas from him. And if you see them as a soul, you see, hold on a second. They already have intrinsic value, infinite value, unconditional value. They don't have to go acquire their value through doing something or proving themselves in any way. So yeah, that's lesson two, is seeing your child as a soul.
Beautiful.
I wonder if this is a little bit more personal and it's okay to ask you, but as a mother of older kids and doing this course, I wish I had done this course 15 years ago to be able to bring the unconscious to the conscious. I think there are a lot of things that I've been doing consciously, but there are so many things that I need to bring to the conscious and work on. Is this something that you relate to? Like, do you feel like you're parenting differently after developing this course? Or is this something you feel like you've
been... I've taught this class maybe 20 times now. And every time I teach it, it helps me parent. I feel like it's one of those things that has just such basic universal truths that you get something from it every time. I've taught it 20 times probably by now. I gain every time as a parent. Absolutely.
There was something very powerful that you had said when you were talking about values. You had shared that, well, you were the editor of the Army magazine. And, we know we've been successful when our children come and ask us our opinions and when they value our values. And you would think, hey, my kids are just going to come and ask me my opinions. But you had shared that, no, I need to work on myself in my own way with my relationship with my children in order for them to come to me and ask me the same questions people ask me in the magazine.
Yeah, yeah. I wrote an advice column for 8 years, right? So you would think a guy who wrote advice for so many thousands of people, of course, his kids all run to take his advice. It's not true. You have to earn that credibility. And I said it before, I'll say it again. People don't care what you know until they know that you care. So when I'm bonded with my kids and they feel I'm there for them on an emotional level, then they're interested in my opinion. But just because I pay the bills doesn't mean that they're necessarily interested in my opinion. Right. And I think we as parents, we have to accept that reality. Hey, it's your house. You know, you can say whatever opinions you want. Doesn't mean your kids are going to actually care what those opinions are. But when you're bonded to them, bonded means that you are the safest person in the world to them, and they feel that your relationship with them is unconditional, then you don't even have to preach, because they're going to be interested in what you care about, and they will care about whatever it is that you care about.
We always want a relationship with our children. It doesn't matter what stage of life you are in as a parent. You could be a young mother. You could be I'm a mother of older kids and younger kids. So I get the best of both worlds now to experience this course that I've taken with my older children and my younger children. And I'm very grateful for the opportunity you have given me and all the mothers in this course. I know feel the same way as me. We've all expressed that to you. And the reason I wanted to do this is that I can share a little bit, just a little bit. This is just a little glimpse. The amazing thing is that this course is so deep. You have somehow simplified it to make these concepts be like, hey, this is a simple thought. This is truth. I'm just uncovering what I already know deep inside, and I can do this.
Yeah, yeah. True things should feel like, hey, I already know this. The real truth is always, you know, oh, I kind of remember when the angel taught that to me before I was born, you know? So
yeah, and it's very emotional. It's very emotional when that hits you. I hope that if you guys sign up for the course, I highly recommend it. And even taking on one concept from one of the classes that Rabbi Taub gives in this course, it's just going to change your family, change your life. One little step in making your home a better place and making the world a better place.
That's right. And like we started at the beginning, how do we make the world a better place? Home by home, by making each home a better place. Yep.
You know what's so great? Your parenting episode, From the Inside Out, is the same title as our podcast.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, that title was given a long time ago. Wow. Okay, great.
Well, because...
am I going to get a letter from you?
No, not at all. Okay. I just think that it all comes from the same place, from the same concept. Our podcast came to be from the concept of Kol Kavod Bas Melech Pnimah, that it all starts from the inside, stripping off all other superficial layers. It's from the inside out. And I feel like your parenting course is the same idea.
I think we're coming from the same value system, the yes. Parenting course, the podcast. And I won't say what it is. I don't want to scare people off, but there's this very powerful value system. Yeah, we mentioned it before, but when you tell people what it is, then they get nervous. But anyways, should I say what it is?
Chassidus.
That's what it is.
It's so interesting because sometimes I'm listening. I feel like, oh, he read all these books. He read some of the books that I've read. You must have.
I know people think that. They think that, yes. I read all the secular parenting books. I didn't read any of those books.
And it's amazing how you're sharing content from these books. That is what is so enlightening, that Chassidus and Tanya and the concepts that you're sharing is where your parenting course stems from, is all intertwined with psychology.
If we're getting closer to Mashiach, if the world is getting closer to its perfection, it should be no great wonder to us that secular sources are arriving at the truths that come from Torah. Right. So that's how I see it.
Yes, and that's why I feel like you don't have to be religious to join this course. You know,
no.
There was a diverse group of women.
And Ida asked before, she's like, what values do you recommend? So the truth is, when I give this course, I'm not wearing my rabbi hat in the sense of, you know, normally speaking, people ask me to coach them as far as what values to have. In this context, I'm not here to tell you what values to have. I'm here to help you figure out what values you already have and help you to become more in touch with those and help you to be able to transfer those values more effectively to your children. So people who are religious, less religious, or different types of being religious, I think it applies to everyone equally, whatever your values are.
I think some participants get shocked with some of the advice that you give because it's very unconventional in not policing and making our children do what you would want to do. Religious-wise, I'm saying, you know, like the example you gave of being at the Shabbos table, not forcing anybody to do what you want to do, but allowing them to make their choices.
Well, I also happen to believe that the Torah that we were given is the greatest, most precious gift. And something that's a precious gift is going to sell itself. And when we have to force people and manipulate them or coerce them, we're sending a message that this thing is so undesirable, if we wouldn't force you to do it, you'd never do it. So I'm very, very much a believer in when a family is operating well and in a healthy way, where parents are parents and taking care of their children and children feel bonded and safe, then Yiddishkeit, you know, Torah observance is as natural as the air that you breathe. And really, we don't have to get obsessive about trying to enforce compliance, which backfires anyway.
Right. So thank you. And on that note, I want to wish you nachas from your children. And like Amen. You say, and you take pride in them just for who they are, without having done anything, they bring you nachas. Mm-hmm. I love that concept that you share. And it's not a concept. It's something that we all can live by, is having nachas from our children for who they are right now. So you should have continued nachas from them. And we look forward to having you for a third time in the future.
God willing, yes, I'll be there, 5:15 a.m., whatever time you want.
Yes, from the inside out.
Okay. From the inside out, yes.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I want to wish you, I mean, again, what Rivka said, that you know, all of the things that we discussed in this conversation that you should continue to emulate. And, you know, God willing, we should all be parenting from the soul, you know, from one soul to another. We should spread this light so that all parents will hopefully eventually receive this. And the next generation will have a lot less to deal with.
Oh, that is a vision that I can definitely sign on to. Yes, absolutely.
Ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, as they say. So that's the goal. Yep.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have
Thank
a wonderful
so much.
Day.
I really value the opportunity.
Well,
likewise.
Take care.
Bye-bye.